It's been part political posturing, part violence, and part revolutionary passion in the lead-up, but the voting has now begun in Cairo, the first small mechanical step in the creation of a whole new mechanism of governing for Egyptians. The old governing machine is hardly gone, and so it is in the midst of some mistrust and honest trepidation about the future that these voters are going to the polls.
I had to take the decision yesterday, and I didn't sleep to take this decision. I have to vote now, even if my brothers were just like killed a few days ago in Tahrir. I will have to vote on the blood and all these political powers and forces on the street who betrayed them. I had to come. I didn't want to come, but I had to.
There's also a sense of inevitability and excitement about the future, come what may.
I'm very proud, and I can see that Egypt is going forward 100%. We're hit rock bottom. There is no way except up. I expect anything from Egyptians. Egyptians are great people. Look at us. I think three years we'll be back on the map. If we have an honest government with integrity, 3 years is more than enough. We'll be there.
A voice of a cautious voter and a very hopeful voter. There are two voters in Cairo. They all spoke with Noel King, radio producer and reporter now based in Cairo. Noel, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Celeste.
Noel is on a slightly delayed line. We're linked up in Cairo. Tell me about those two voters. They're just two data points, but you've spoken with a lot of people over the past several days leading up to the polling taking place today.
That's right, and I've been hitting the polls all morning. Let's turn first to that young man, Ahmed Abouf, who is a 22-year-old lawyer who describes himself as in between jobs at the moment. Ahmed was one of the young kids who was out in Tahrir Square for the past week, sort of facing off against Egyptian security. He had a very severe burn on his hand, and he said, you know, I got this. I was throwing a tear gas canister back at the police. And I said, how do you feel about voting today? He said, look, I was in the position where I had to make the decision to boycott what I see as a really illegitimate election, an election that is watched being very carefully by the military, an election where there is the threat of corruption and ballot rigging. Either boycott the election or go ahead and cast my vote. And I said, well, why did you come out? And he said, look, I was up all night, as you heard in that clip there. I was up all night trying to make the decision. And in the end, I decided I don't really want to be here. But if Egypt is going to be a democracy at some point, it's up to me and people like me to get out and cast our ballots. And the woman I spoke to, Manat, was on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you will. She was fiercely nationalistic, as many Egyptians are. A woman in her mid-40s who said, I hold Canadian and Egyptian citizenship, and I prefer the Egyptian citizenship, she told me. And she said, you know, Egypt has always come back. Egypt is a country that has never really been conquered. We've always managed to move forward. And as you heard, there's just a lot of pride that these elections are taking place, and a lot of confidence that, as she said, in 3 years, Egypt is going to be back on the map with tourism. The economy will experience a revival as long as we get the right leaders in place. And that's what everybody here today has been talking about, getting the right leaders in place.
Noel King is speaking to us from Cairo. She's a reporter now based in Cairo. Of course, these elections are for the parliament. They will be writing the constitution. And then after that, presidential elections to create the sort of leadership cadre there in Egypt to replace Hosni Mubarak, finally, after everything that's happened in the Arab Spring. What's it been like so far on this voting day? You've got two voices there from the full sort of extremes of the spectrum, and both educated English speakers. There's a real center of mass, though, among the populace in Cairo and around Egypt. Where are they going to put their votes, do you think?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell at this point. Prediction has been a very difficult game in this, you know, in Egypt since the beginning, since the revolution back in January and February. What you're seeing today, though, John, is people are coming out to vote in droves, in masses that were really unexpected, considering some of the drama and the, you know, the disarray that preceded this election. You do have people, thousands of people lined up for blocks and blocks, many of them very optimistic, even the ones who were not optimistic, saying, look, we're a little depressed. That's a word you hear quite a bit. We're a little depressed about the way things have gone preceding, leading up to the election. But if we want to get anything done, we're going to have to come out here and cast our ballots. Well, and so you've got more numbers out today than you might have assumed.
Well, it says something about the perseverance of Egyptians that after everything we've experienced in the news, they're just a little depressed, some of them. Listen to this voter, and I want you to tell me about this person here.
Well, I'm happy to be here, but I have my doubts. But even with those slight doubts, I insisted on coming because I'm hoping for the best. Real elections, this is the first time I do it.
Is hoping for the best going to be enough there, Noelle?
Well, no, it never is in Egypt, but it's a start. That woman, Nihal Abu Afia, was telling me that, you know, this is the first time she's voted in any election in her entire life. I heard that from a lot of Egyptians, even folks in their 60s and 70s, saying this is the first time that they had come out, voted in anything. You asked me earlier, John, who's expected to kind of lead in these elections. Right now, the Muslim Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party looks like it is doing pretty well. Again, the eyes of the West on the Freedom and Justice Party, because the Muslim Brotherhood, obviously, and the West have had a tenuous relationship at points. One of the more scandalous things that's happening today is, you know, campaigning was supposed to end 48 hours ago. All of the parties were supposed to pull their political ads and go home. You have seen the Freedom and Justice Party campaigning still in the streets, handing out flyers before people go to the polls. That's going to be a point of controversy at the end of this day. If the Muslim Brotherhood does well, people will turn to that and say, look, you were supposed to go home and stop campaigning, and you didn't.
And well, Noel, I'm told there's 17 million Egyptians who are actually eligible to vote. Is there sort of, I mean, and I've seen the photos of people in Cairo lining up around the block, but is there as much enthusiasm among the rural communities?
Yes, but it's for different parties. Now, the rural communities in Egypt would be people who have always voted. And this is the interesting thing. In Egypt, to this point, elections were mandatory. By law, you had to vote. So the folks who didn't vote were often the upper classes, the people who sort of said, look, we're not going to be the ones arrested. We're just going to sit this one out. The rural communities have always voted. They're typically going to go for more conservative parties. The Muslim Brotherhood will do quite well with the rural communities. The Salafis, the Islamist parties will do well in the rural communities. In those areas, people are concerned about jobs. They are deeply, deeply religious. And these parties have sort of played that off and said, look, we are both the parties of Islam, but also if you're down on your luck, we're willing to help you out. We're willing to give charity.
And in fact, many of those allegiances in the rural areas are clan-based. Noel King, a reporter in Cairo for The Takeaway, assessing the sense of voters going to the polls. Is it about protest and democracy, or is it about restoring stability? We'll find out with the results. Noel, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.